Can we just celebrate extravaganza just one more time? Amen. Amen. Oh, it was a ton of fun, a ton of hard work. But it's moments like that, the recap video, there's conversations that we got to have as a part of the serve team with people who would step into church for no other reason other than the Easter bunny and an Easter egg hunt. And I just think that's so awesome. Man, you guys having fun so far? You guys having a good time? Amen. Come on. I have the unique honor of bringing today's message. Pastor Sheldon wanted to be here today, but he is doing some amazing things, working with some other pastors on a special project. And I wish I could give you more details in this moment, but he'll tell you all about it when he gets back. Just know that Impact is going way farther than just the local church. And there's some amazing things happening. So he wanted to let you know that he misses y'all. He wished he could be here this morning, but God's doing some amazing things through where he's at right now. So Easter Sunday, we launched a series titled Unstuck. And I was thinking about the word stuck, and I've come to the conclusion that I really thought that quicksand was going to be a bigger problem in my life. You can laugh at that. That's okay. I grew up watching cartoons and TV shows, and there's always like an episode where quicksand just kind of shows up. And I'm like, man, I got to be prepared. Everybody's dealing with quicksand nowadays. And so I learned, like, you don't want to struggle if you're in quicksand because it just kind of makes it worse. And you need somebody to help pull you out, and it's a whole thing. And then I realized nobody's ever been walking up Grand Ave and hit quicksand. And, you know, like, I'm not in the parking lot trying to dodge quicksand on the way into the office. It just, I really thought it was going to be something way bigger than it really is. And then I realized, like, I don't experience quicksand, but I do get stuck in life, right? Like, we don't have to worry about quicksand, but situations and circumstances happen and we feel alone. And when we feel alone, there's like a heaviness, there's a weight that comes with feeling stuck. And we want to know, like, I just want to know if I'm going to make it. Like, am I going to make it through this circumstance, through this moment? And I want to ask you a question, and you don't have to show your hands, okay? Just for the privacy of your own circumstances. But just mentally, have you ever wondered if God really cares about what you're going through? Like, you're walking through a circumstance, and like, does God even really care? And it's not that you, like, you don't believe in God, because in this room, probably most of us do really believe in God. We just question whether or not he cares about our pain and our struggles and our heartbreak. And if you have that question, you might think, okay, God, if you did care, you would do something about it. You would do something about the pain that I'm feeling. And so if you've ever wondered, does he notice? Does he care? I want to encourage you, number one, that you are not alone. You are not the only one feeling this way. But today, we're going to take a look at one of the miracles of Jesus where his disciples ask the same question, do you even care? So if you're taking notes, I'm a huge note taker. I believe in the power of taking notes. I think you remember things better. So if you got to open up your phone and pull out your notes app, or you got sermon notes and you have a pen with you, if you're taking notes, the title of today's message is Finding Peace in Your Panic. So let's pray. Lord, I believe that everybody in this room is here on purpose. Lord, that you have something unique to say to each and every single person in this room. And so, Lord, I'm thankful that you want to meet with us, that you want to say something to us. Lord, amongst all our dysfunction and inadequacy, you still want a relationship with us. So, Lord, I pray that your voice would be the loudest in this room. Lord, that your words would be spoken. Lord, and if you can't speak through me, Lord, would you speak in spite of me? Lord, we want to know you better. We want our circumstances and our situations to change. We want to grow closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, how many of y'all got your Bibles with me? If you got a paper Bible, can you do me a favor and just hold it up real quick? Amen. If you got YouVersion, how many of you guys have your phone with you and you're opening it up to Mark chapter 4 today? I saw somebody hold up their phone. I think it was on Instagram. I'm just throwing it out there. We're in YouVersion on Instagram this morning. Come on. Mark chapter 4 today. We're going to be starting at verse 35. And we see that the disciples find themselves in a storm. And they're really not prepared for this moment. They didn't see this coming. And I heard it said that you are either going into a storm in life, you're in the middle of a storm in life, or you're coming out of a storm in life. And so there's a lot of us in this room who are in the middle of some stuff right now. You're facing something that you didn't choose, you didn't want, you didn't expect to face, and here we are. So verse 35 starts, it says, that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? I want to break that down, starting with verse 35. That day when the evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Now, Jesus and the disciples are hanging out in a boat, and they're on the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is kind of like a lake. It is 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, and the geography of the area, it's known for its fierce storms and gale force winds. And so Jesus, after an exhausting day of ministry, if you look at the book of Mark, Jesus has been teaching parables to crowds and doing ministry and amazing things are happening. And Jesus goes, hey, we got to go to the other side of the lake now. And there's a little bit in a note there where it says, they crossed as he were, right, as he was. They didn't stop to get a coat. They didn't stop to get food. They were just on to the next thing. So Jesus is doing ministry and going, I got to get to the other side of the lake. Now, the other side is where the Gentiles lived. And the people who lived over there, the Jews avoided. They thought they were pagan people. And it's even rumored that the devil himself lived on the other side of the lake. And what's crazy is that the people who lived on the other side of the lake made a living selling pigs. And if you know anything about Jewish culture, pigs are unclean. They're viewed as an unclean food group. And so Jesus gets in the boat to go visit the unclean people. And I think that's just a testament to loving people that maybe don't look like us or believe the same things we do. But Jesus was on assignment. And I want you to notice this when I say this. Maybe the storm wasn't an accident. Jesus was on assignment. He was going somewhere. He had something to achieve. And that storm was trying to stop the disciples and Jesus from going where Jesus needed to go. And I want to pause here for a second, because there's some of us in this room, the second we get excited about the things of God, and we start moving in a direction, and we start trying to be obedient to the Lord, and we start believing that God is going to do some incredible things, all of a sudden, a storm in our life kicks up, and we go from excited to suddenly we're soaking wet and our boat is sinking. And I want to tell you that maybe the storm isn't a coincidence in your life. Because God's doing something incredible, and you're on assignment, and you're moving, and you're going, and something's trying to stop you. And I don't want to scare you or throw you for a loop. I just think that sometimes storms aren't a coincidence. Like for the leaders in the room, the second you start stepping up, and you start being obedient and walking in the ways of the Lord, and he's doing something incredible, something goes wrong, and we want to turn around and jump ship. And I just think you need to keep pushing, because there's people on the other side of the lake who need to know about Jesus. So don't get discouraged this moment just because there's a storm in your life. It might be just something that's trying to stop you. That'll preach. Come on, somebody. All right, back to the main point. Sorry. People were superstitious about the sea. A Bible commentator writes this. Says the sea was known to swallow entire ships and gulp down people. It was a common superstition to view the water as the abyss where demons lurked in the deep. The sea was considered the manifestation of the realm of death. Do I have any Gilligan's Island fans in the room? Just curious. I gotta know if I'm going here or not. All right, there's enough. So the disciples and Jesus hop on the SS Minnow, and it's supposed to be a 3-hour tour. Yeah, there it is. And sure enough, here comes the storm. And so this storm blows up. And I, going back, like the way looked clear. When they got on the boat, there wasn't a storm. And they started going where Jesus told them to go. And a storm kicked up in their life. And it's a testament to say, as a Christian, you are not exempt from storms in your life. There are gonna be moments in your life where you walk through some really hard things. And I love that Jesus says this in scripture. He says you're going to have trouble in your life. It's guaranteed, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Come on, somebody say amen. If you've ever been in a boat in bad weather, it's not a good time. You are at the mercy of the wind and the waves, and you're just kind of getting thrown around. I've been on some choppy water in my life, and there is a moment where it just kind of, it just gets real, and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I bet you in this moment, the disciples are kind of feeling like that. They're getting desperate. The wind is bouncing around the boat, and the waves are crashing, and whatever illusion of control that the disciples had in that moment, like that's out the window. They're in panic. And to quote the words of the great theologian Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And I doubt the disciples are stopping and taking a moment to survey the moment, right? They're not like, hey, okay, let's come up with a plan. Let's stop and think like Jesus is in the boat with us. Maybe there's something up with this situation. No, they're full panic mode. I like to imagine that the disciples are running around, the boat's being rocked, the wind is just hitting them, and they're trying to use buckets to bail out the water, right? And they're just throwing things overboard. And that's where we see in verse 38, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" What they're really saying is, "Teacher, if you care, you'll get up and do something. Can you do something in this moment? Because where I'm just panicking, I'm scared. Like, I don't know if you know this, we're in a storm and there's water in the boat and we're freaking out. And now I don't think any of us are in danger of drowning this morning, but maybe some of us emotionally and spiritually speaking, we're drowning. And drowning looks a lot different to us today. And we look at God and we go, God, if you cared, I wouldn't have lost my job. God, if you cared, you would do something about my depression. God, you would help me out of this financial hole. Like, Lord, I bought the lottery ticket. All you had to do was give me the winning numbers. Lord, I said I'd even tithe 10% on it just so that, like, maybe you would give it to me. Right? God, if you cared, you would do something. God, I wouldn't feel stuck right now. Like, if you just cared, you would do something. And if you're in a storm today and wonder, does he even care? I want to give you two things to remember in the storm this morning. Number one, you are in the storm with his presence. Number one, you're in the storm with his presence. And it says it in chapter 4, verse 38, that Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and he's sleeping heavy. Where are my heavy sleepers at? Amen. Some of y'all, if somebody broke into your house and started playing the drums, you guys would sleep right through it. And there's some people in the house that you could hear your neighbor four houses down wake up and go get a snack from the fridge at midnight. You wake up for anything. Come on. Right? Jesus is sleeping on a cushion. And I'm not going to get super theological here, but I feel this. Jesus was comfortable. Like, he had a cushion. And I don't know if you've ever slept over at a friend's house, but if you ever slept over at a friend's house and they forget to give you like blankets and a pillow, and so you just grab whatever you can to like keep your body heated, you're sleeping under the couch cushions and you're like under the table and you're just trying to stay warm. And I just feel this, that the cushion was there because somebody went, man, somebody might need to sleep here. And I think in the middle of a storm, Jesus was exactly where he was supposed to be. And I don't know your circumstance, but I want to encourage you that Jesus is right where he's supposed to be right now. He's with you in the boat. His presence is with you. And I think the disciples forget that Jesus was the one who said, hey, we got to go to the other side. They forget that he's in the boat. And sometimes a storm comes into our life or our circumstances changing, and we're not where we started, right? We're not on shore. But we haven't made it to the other side yet. And so we're not where we started, and we haven't gotten to where we're going. And we get so caught up in the what of the storm, we forget the who in the boat. We get caught up in what we see that we forget who is with us. We get so overwhelmed by our circumstances and the weight and the pain that we forget that Jesus is with us in the middle of our storm. And if you're taking notes, the who is more powerful than the what. The same God that told you to go over there is the same God that is in our boat when we're soaking wet and sinking. You're in the storm with his presence. All throughout scripture, God has promised his presence over and over again. Check this out. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. God will neither fail you nor abandon you. Joshua 1, 5. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. Joshua 1, 9. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Psalm 23, verse 4. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Don't get so caught up in the what of the storm that you forget the who in the boat. Come on. God has promised his presence over and over again. Don't let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God in your life. Don't let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God in your life. And so when someone breaks your heart, God is with you. When you lose your job, God is with you. When you don't understand why something is happening the way it is, God is with you. When you come home to an empty apartment, you're not alone. God is with you. Jesus said he will never leave us or forsake us. He is with you. Jesus never said we wouldn't experience storms. He promised we'd never be alone in the storm. And there's some of us that feel alone, and I just want to encourage you that he is with you in the storm. My second thought, you're in the storm for his purpose. Remember, Jesus is the one who said, hey, we got to go there. Jesus said, we got to get to the other side. There's people on the other side that need to know about me. The disciples weren't in the storm because they were outside of God's will. They were being obedient to the Lord. They were in the middle of his will. And that put them in a storm. And now, I don't know why Jesus allowed the disciples to go into a storm. And I can't give you a theological take on it because that's above my pay grade. And I'm not messing with that. But I'd like to think that the disciples had to learn something in the storm that they couldn't learn on the safety of the shore. They had to learn something in the middle of a storm that they couldn't learn from the safety of the shore. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I just think, if you look at scripture, there's moments that the disciples find themselves on the water. And I think the water is the one place where you can't go anywhere else. And you can't lean on your own talents and your own abilities and your own comforts. And they're out of their element, that the only thing they can do is trust God. And I think there's something powerful to be said about being in a storm, and understanding that through that storm you are learning and you're growing and you are stretching and you are becoming more of the person that God has created you to be. And I think there's something powerful about having to trust the Lord in a moment, because you can't rely on your own talents and abilities and your strength to get out of the circumstances that you find yourself in. And I just want to encourage you that if you're in a storm, focus on Him and trust Him. You don't have to muscle your way through a storm. You just have to trust Him. Because check this out, verse 39. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Just like that, we see Jesus rebuke the wind and the waves. The wind and the waves know His voice. He spoke as one with authority would speak. Why? Because I think He's also teaching the disciples that He has authority over the wind and the waves. He wasn't just like, "Stop. Would you please stop? Like, maybe if you feel like a wind." He was like, "No, be quiet. Stop." And I want to hit you with this. Jesus spoke in a way that works. And the elements responded to His voice. He knows how to handle the circumstances. The storm in your life, He knows how to fix. He knows how to handle it, and He speaks in a way that works. We lean on some things that don't work. We think they'll get us out of the storm that we're in or the circumstances, and we'll fix it, and we use our own strength. But He speaks in a way that works. And what I think is cool is that there's a guy in the boat. His name is Peter. And I love Peter because he's kind of a wild card. Like, there's a moment in Scripture where he just does goofy things. And I like to imagine that in this moment, Peter is running around freaking out. And what's cool about Peter is Peter was a professional fisherman who lived near the Sea of Galilee. He would have fished on this lake. He would have been working here before. This wasn't a new circumstance to him. But you could say that if the disciples were freaking out in this moment, this might have been the biggest storm they ever experienced. Peter, this isn't new territory to Peter. But Peter's still questioning if the Lord cares in this moment. What's cool is that later he'd write in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 17, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." Peter, the disciple who's used to the circumstances, is freaking out, questioning if the Lord cares. And I think because of this moment, he learns that the Lord cares. And he goes, "You know what you need to do? You need to focus on Jesus. You need to put your cares on Jesus." Now, the Greek word for cast is used one other time. And it's translated to transfer, like to transfer weight. So to transfer the weight of your anxiety off of you and onto God. Do I have any people who like to work out? Okay, if we got... I used to like to work out, and at my strongest, I could bench 315. I'm just saying, it's kind of impressive. I had to flex a little bit. When you're bench pressing, the motion, right, you're holding the weight up, and as you come down, you can only hold it for so long before it starts to get too heavy, and you struggle, and you get tired, and some people would say, then just let go. The issue is if you let go, it'll crush you. And so when you're working out, you have to re-rack the weights. You have to transfer the weight from your arms to the rack that you're benching in. And I think our anxiety is a lot like that. Our fear, our uncertainty, our doubt is a lot like that. We hang on to it and we hold it for too long and we begin to struggle and it begins to get heavy. And some people are just like, let it go. But if you just let it go, it's gonna crush you. And you have to transfer it to Jesus. You have to give Him the burden. Whatever is making you anxious, you give it to God. Because check this out, if we handle things in the flesh, it's our responsibility. If we handle things in the spirit, it's God's responsibility. Come on. And we got to stop using our own strength because it becomes our responsibility. But when we cast our anxiety and our fear on Jesus and we go, God, I'm being obedient. You called me here. God, I'm doing everything that you said you would. I got in the boat. I trusted you. I'm following you. Hey, God, you got a problem on your hands. This is all you because you called me here. And I think if you called me here, you'll sustain me here. And I believe that if you want me to go somewhere, you're responsible for getting me there if I'm being obedient and taking the next steps. So I know if you've called me here, there's nothing that can stand in the way of getting me across the lake. And I think that when we have that approach and we trust the Lord in that moment, oh, it becomes his responsibility. And he does some amazing things. And so if you're struggling and you're worried, maybe about one of your students, or you're freaking out about the finances or the future career path or the health issue that's in your life, transfer the weight to Jesus because he cares. Now you ask the question, if I give it to God, is that irresponsible? Like, what if I just give it up and I don't handle it my way? Is it irresponsible or is it powerful? And I think it depends. Do you really believe there's an all-powerful, ever-present, all-knowing God who cares for you? Because Peter didn't, and then he did. Cast all your cares on him because he cares. When the storms of life come, you are not alone. You are in the storm with his presence for his purpose. God cares. He is close to the brokenhearted. He draws near to the desperate. He is close to those who are crushed in spirit. You may be rejected by people, but you are never abandoned by God. And I gotta say it again, don't turn around. You're in the lake, don't turn around, don't go home. The storm is telling you that you're not gonna make it. You don't have what it takes. You're not good enough. You don't belong. You don't fit in. The storm is talking to you. And I think there's people on the other side of the lake that need you, that need to hear the gospel. And you could turn around right now and you could go home and God still loves you because that's the kind of God I serve. I just think the people on the other side of the lake, the people in the 715, the people that are close to you and within your wingspan, they need to know about Jesus. And if you turn around now, they may not get the opportunity to hear about Jesus. So you could give up and you could go home and the Lord is still gonna love you. I just think that people need to know the good news of Jesus. In verse 41, I'm going to wrap up here. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They didn't recognize what was happening. He calmed the storm, and immediately the disciples are like, "What's happening?" This is going to preach. What if you don't recognize what God is doing and he's doing a new thing that's gonna build your faith? What if he's doing something new that you don't recognize in your circumstances and you feel alone, but the storm is a moment where he gets to prove his presence and he's doing some amazing things and it's new and it doesn't look like you thought it would, but he's still bringing you through the storm. So maybe you're in the middle of a storm, you're going into a storm, you're coming out of a storm. Just because you're in a storm doesn't mean you're not in the presence of God. One day storms will come to an end and Jesus is gonna rebuke the storm like he did in this story. He's gonna restore those who are sick. He's gonna heal all that are depressed. He's going to bring joy to those who mourn. He's gonna end all rejection and wipe away every tear. Even though the elements are in chaos, our soul will be completely calm. Jesus is gonna make all things new. Until then, we gather in the boat, the church, and where you can come when you have nowhere else to go. When you're in a storm, wouldn't it be cool that when your boat is sinking and you're soaking wet, you got people around you that are going, "You're doing it. You're crossing the lake. You're going for it. You're being obedient to the Lord." Even though you're soaking wet and you feel like your boat is sinking, you are sailing the direction the captain
told you to go? Wouldn't it be cool if there was a place to connect to God, that you could grow together, that you could serve the community, whether you're healthy or sick, you're righteous or a sinner, there is a place that you could go and be together, casting your cares on Him, and because He cares for us. Wouldn't that be awesome? As I close today, I want to invite you to get in the boat with us. We're sailing the direction the captain told us to go, and we're going to experience some storms along the way. But the perk of a community is that we're there to encourage each other. I want to point out one thing. In that story, did you notice that it said that there were other boats with them? And we never see them again. You need people in your life that will encourage you in the middle of your storm, not disappear when things get tough. You need that in your life, and I want to invite you in this moment to get into the boat with every head bowed. If you are in a storm and you're like, I need to cast my cares on Him, I need to give Him every circumstance, every fear, every uncertainty, with every head bowed, eyes closed, not looking around just to keep things from getting awkward, can you just raise your hand and say, I'd like to make a decision to get in the boat and sail the direction that the captain has told me to sail? If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Amen. I can tell you there's more than one hand in this boat, in this room. There's more than one hand. You are not alone in the storm. And so would you pray with me, Lord, I want to get in the boat. I want to sail the direction that You're going. Lord, I take all the uncertainty, all the fear, all the weight, and I give it to You. And I cast my insecurities and my burdens to You because You care. And some of us are in a storm right now. And we're wondering, Lord, do You even care? Lord, would You show up? Would Your presence be so obvious in their lives, Father? Would You calm the wind and the waves in their soul? Lord, we need You not just as the captain, but as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we know that we make mistakes and we miss the mark and we sin. But Lord, we need a Lord and a